Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Support for this podcast is provided by Subchuck Law. Revolution Recap thanks Subchuck Law for their support of our show, local independent media, and their mission of bringing unbiased truth. Revolution Recap would also like to thank Six Point Builders for their support. Six Point Builders are builders of fine custom homes in the Boston metropolitan area.
Welcome to a special episode of Revolution Recap. We've got an interview today with former Revolution defender Francis Accaro, who was a two-time New England Revolution Defender of the Year, played for the Revs during their inaugural season, and won an MLS Cup with the Chicago Fire, as well as a U.S. Open Cup with the Chicago Fire. He is now the head coach of the Emmanuel College women's soccer team. I'm Sean Donahue, and on the interview, I'm joined by my co-host, Greg Johnstone. Before we jump into that interview, I wanted to quickly shout out to our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, quickly wanted to mention Galacho Kits, where you can get unique vintage jerseys, and you can save 15% off those by using code REVSRECAP at checkout. That's REVSRECAP at checkout at Galacho Kits to get unique vintage soccer jerseys. One other quick mention, I want to mention our friends at the New England Rebellion. The Rebellion is hosting a foot golf tournament with a portion of the proceeds going to breast cancer awareness on October 7th, and you can sign up for that now. There's only a few spots remaining, but check out their website at anyrebellion.org and check them out on Twitter at anyrebellion. Also, of course, as always, check out our friends at the Blazing Musket for the best Revs coverage. And with that, we'll play the interview. Today, joining us on Revolution Recap, we have two-time New England Revolution Defender of the Year and an MLS Cup and U.S. Open Cup winner with the Chicago Fire, Francis Accaro. Francis, you're now Emmanuel College women's head soccer coach. How are things going?
Things are going great so far. I'm about to start my third year at Emmanuel, so you know we're excited about upcoming season. Actually, we get together today and start practicing tomorrow.
Well, that sounds great. And we'll talk a little bit about your coaching career towards the end of the interview. But we wanted to get some background to you on you and how you got into soccer. I know originally you are from Nigeria. How did you get into the sport? Did you play soccer growing up? And when did you first come to the United States?
I came in 1983. That was the first time I came. And but before I came, I played a lot of soccer in Nigeria. So soccer is like a religion back home. I probably started playing as early as either 3 or 4 years old. Our dad played, and it's a thing to do, you know, in addition to going to school. But football was definitely a priority to most people in Nigeria.
Did your dad play professionally? I didn't know your dad played soccer. Where did he play professionally?
No, he didn't play professional. Then that day, the highest they played was in Nigeria and the national team. That was it. And we, our generation, we're the ones that were lucky to come out and play professional in Europe.
Gotcha. And you said you came to the United States for college. You went to Boston University in the 80s. How did you decide on coming to the United States and coming to Boston University specifically?
Well, I wanted to be a doctor. So New England, obviously, Boston in particular, is the mecca of the medical stuff. So that was, it was easy pick for me, easy choice. So I came here to do that. But unfortunately, which I don't regret, I couldn't mix that with football and, you know, missing a lot of practices because of a lab band and stuff like that. So I had to make a quick decision, but it wasn't a decision. It's just like transferring from here to here. So yeah, I decided just to pick on business, and that's what I did.
And, you know, at the time you were at Boston University, the North American Soccer League, they folded right while you were there. So it was kind of a downtime for professional soccer in the United States. You obviously had a very successful career at Boston University, but while all that was going on, what were you thinking at the time as far as playing soccer professionally? Was that kind of a thought for you? I know you said you went to become a doctor. Did you have any aspirations about playing professional soccer at that time?
Oh yeah, so always was the goal. When I was in school, I wanted to finish. That was priority one. And then knowing fully well there was no professional league ongoing, the next bet for me was Europe. I was gonna go to Europe. You know, for me, the way I was brought up, it's one thing at a time. So I had to finish school. And once I finished, the closest to real professional soccer was the indoor league, the MISL, which I was drafted by Cleveland. And I did that for about a year and a half. Indoor wasn't necessarily my bread and butter. I didn't like indoor. So, you know, I made my way to Europe.
What did you not like specifically about the indoor? Was it just the different rules? You just liked kind of the traditional form of the game, or what was it?
I would say all of the above. I mean, the way I played those days, you know, I like to express myself. Indoor doesn't give you that. It's more or less like a hockey thing where you can't stay there past a minute, or, you know, you got to come out and shift the thing. You don't really establish your rhythm. And so I mean, it's probably good for most people, but it wasn't for me. I needed, you know, if you start a game, you know, an outdoor game, you need about 10, 15 minutes to get warmed up, and then the rest, you start going. But that wasn't the same rhythm or pattern when you do indoors.
Yeah. So between indoor soccer, you were with Cleveland in 1988. Yeah. The Revolution obviously didn't start playing until about 8 years later. So talk about your career between Cleveland and the Revs. What did you do in those 8 years to keep playing?
I was in Belgium for 5 years of those eight. I came back... right before the World Cup started, in like early 90s, came back. I was waiting just in case I get a transfer. I wanted to go to France. But back then, I forgot what they call it. There was a rule then where either you sit out a year to get your freedom. I forgot what they call it. And it will come back to me. But I wanted to do that. If you don't come in agreement with your club team in terms of transfer, and if that doesn't work, then you sit out a year and then you move on. Bodman rule or something like that.
The Bosman rule, yeah.
Yes, yes. So that was what, you know, got me to come back here, because my team wouldn't compromise or accept the transfer situation. So that was that. So when I came back here, it was time for a World Cup. 1993, they started assembling the national team. I wasn't a part of it until I got injured. And then obviously 1994, it started here.
And I know you played for a few teams before the Revs as well. The Lowell Blues, the Boston Storms, the Cape Cod Crusaders. Talk about those teams and kind of the level of play, because obviously that is all pre-MLS. Right. What was your experience playing with those teams?
Oh, it was awesome, especially the Laza League. You know, but Laza League was the equivalent, you know, in relative terms, the equivalent with the MLS right now. It was the only outdoor league that really mattered in the country. You got them all over the place. And you get a lot of former players, you know, that were in it. So it was a strong league. And I enjoyed it because, you know, obviously for the competition. But by no means was it exactly like MLS. I'm just saying that that's all we had then. So it was our version of MLS. And, you know, a lot of the semi-pro teams all over the place, like Cape Cod Crusaders and stuff like that. You know, but, you know, it's just for us to keep ourselves going until something bigger comes up.
And how did the opportunity to sign for the Revs come up? Obviously, you weren't part of their squad at the beginning of the season, but I believe you joined in July. You were playing for the Cape Cod Crusaders. How did they find you? How did that interest come?
Well, it wasn't really finding me. They knew who I was, but because I sat out for almost a year, they wanted me to keep to train with Cape Cod so that I can get my fitness up before I could join. So it was a pre-arrangement that I would do this, and then immediately they test me and say that my fitness is up to par. They bring me in, so that was an easy decision. I knew who was coaching me at that point. I believe his name was Roger, some English guy. So, you know, he also knows a thing or two about professional. So, you know, he came in and helped me out in terms of training. You know, obviously I was training and playing games with them. But the goal was as soon as I was ready, you know, obviously I didn't want to come in and not be able to express myself. So I did what I had to do in terms of getting fit, you know, and playing games. And then I came when I was ready. And luckily, I came in at a good time. And then the rest was history.
I have a quick follow-up question on that, because we talked to Ted Chronopoulos a few years ago, and he talked about MLS tryouts. And he kind of described the process as like 2 or 3 days, and no one really knew what was going on, and all the coaches were looking at you. And it sounds like you had kind of a connection, and the Revs always intended on signing you and bringing you in. Did you have to try out for the Revs at all? How did that connection kind of happen? Did you have to go through kind of the MLS tryouts and stuff like that, or how did you get connected with the team?
I would say you can say tryout, but it wasn't really tryout. I did tryout for, you know, MLS was supposed to start in 95. That was the initial date. So because they couldn't get their act together and put things together, they moved it now to 96. So, but while we were waiting, right after World Cup, which was 94, 95, yes, they had this national tryout. I went to a couple. I went to one in Plymouth, Mass, where they organized it. A lot of folks showed up. You know, and that's when, after tryouts, if you make it, they bring your name, and then you're invited to another center. I believe the next one was in California. You know, but that was that. And maybe after those two, they realized, okay, that maybe they have to pick me up or something like that. But with Revs, yes, I did. I mean, I consider myself a hometown guy. Everybody knew who I was. So it wasn't really much of a tryout. Like I said, it was an arrangement that once I get fit, then, you know, I just come in and then prove it. So in a way, you could say tryout. My tryout was for one day, you know, and then the rest was history. I mean, but you could say tryout.
What was that inaugural season like with the Revs, you know, being part of them kind of at the, not quite at the beginning, but pretty close to the beginning?
Yeah, it was good. You know, I take pride in playing for hometown team. So I was very happy about that. You know, and pretty much everyone knew who I was. My old friends from Laza, you know, they all were there. They were happy that one of their own is playing. I mean, it was great. It's good to play in front of your fans, your family and friends. As for the team, like Ted, Chronopolis, and the rest of them, they were happy. They all had me on board, and it was good. It's good to be a pioneer, so to speak, you know, a part of something fresh.
And just a couple of years ago, Frank Stapleton came out with an interview where he kind of didn't seem to be too happy with how that first season went for him, and talked about having clashes with Alexi Lawless a lot that first year. Do you recall any of that?
Yeah. Well, you know, Frank was one of my, you know, I'll say best friends and coach as well. But the thing is, when you play in Europe and then you come to a brand new stop like MLS, expectations are high, but you're never going to get it at that time. You know, so Frank was in that area where a lot of time was spent on the outside stuff that were not soccer stuff. So, you know, Lex at that time was the face of U.S. soccer. So he was involved with a lot of commercial and stuff like that, you know, and maybe Frank thought his game was suffering. So it didn't go too well with him, but that was frustration on his part. So it's 100%. He was frustrated year one, and I understood why, and you could tell he wasn't going to hang around for long.
And you know, the Revs finished last in the East that season. It seemed like it was a little bit of a difficult year for Frank. It was a little bit of a difficult year. Was that a difficult first season for the team, kind of with how everything went? Was there, you know, any more clashes in the locker room with other guys, or how was that first season?
Yes, it was a difficult season, but it wasn't infighting, so to speak. But what it was for me, the way I figured it out was there was an imbalance on the team. You know, it was a brand new league, and you know, the goal at that point was to get the league going. So you probably had some players that probably didn't belong there, and then you have a lot of players that belong there. So you're just looking for that balance, and you know, for anything brand new, you're gonna go through the testing period. And you know, it wasn't only refs that were having a problem. Year one, you had other teams. You know, guys like DC United, they were stacked. They got themselves all the guys that played for Bruce Arena. So it was easier to get that going. You know, LA was stacked. You know, so it was what it was supposed to be. You know, a fresh league. You're gonna go through your growing pains. So I consider those as growing pains. But I mean, right after year one, year two, everybody knew exactly what to do, and things changed.
And how did you get the nickname The General? I know you recall that when you're on the Revs. Like, I don't know if you had that nickname before that or if that came during the time with the Revs.
No, it came with the time when I was with the Revs. I mean, the name, probably what I was told is the way I play, and I try to I control things and I help out, and I guess that's what generals do. So I forgot who, you know, and they started calling me that. I said, okay, I'll go with it.
you played 121 games in MLS, never scored a goal, but I know you participated in at least one of the crazy old shootouts that the league used to have. Do you remember, you know, playing in those shootouts when the league didn't want to have ties? And what were kind of your thoughts on the old MLS shootout versus the traditional shootout that we generally see now?
Actually, I wish they bring that shootout back. I did score in that one. It was my debut against Dallas Burns. That's what they were called then. And it was right here in Foxborough. We had a little rain delay. And then when the rain cleared, when we played, I think it was 1-1, and then shootout would beat him. And I actually scored the last one. I like that because it obviously excites the fans. And the excitement and I believe his 5 second rule and stuff like that. I mean it was good then. I wish they still had it, because then teams won't play for draw.
How did things change during the second season when Thomas Rongen took over as head coach? How was that kind of compared to the first year? And obviously, you know, made the playoffs that year as well.
Well, yeah, like I said, you get that, and then you get some better players in. So the dynamics started changing. Thomas Rongen also, he knew the area of football in America. He knew that because he was just coming from Tampa, I believe. So there was a lot of familiarities. He knew the league. Not that Frank didn't know the league, but Thomas was involved with many aspects of the previous leagues as well. So, yes, well, we got some, you know, better players, a few veteran players as well that were good. So it kind of helped to bring all the other young players up to speed, you know, and it breeds confidence. And then you started winning, and obviously winning cures a lot of stuff.
What was it like playing with legendary Italian keeper Walter Zinga behind you in goal?
Walter, that's a crazy dude, but very nice. Yeah, I am good friends. I'm always very good friends with all my goalies, and I've been fortunate to play with fantastic goalies. You know, Walter, one of them. I don't know if you remember Jorge Campo from Mexico.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I've had very, very good goalies behind me. I consider Walter a very good friend, and we still chat occasionally, and it helps. You start with the back, with a good goalie, very good backs, and then you build your team. So the foundation was there, you know. Not that my year one, you know, yes, we had goalies, but they were not as experienced as Zenga. Zenga had seen it all. So, you know, those were the improvement that I was referring to, that you get in better players, things settle, and then everybody started showing really what they can do.
And what was it like that season, kind of getting your first taste of the playoffs? I think you got a red card in the second leg, but what was your first taste of the playoffs like?
I obviously, it's the goal. I wanted to, number one, get the hometown to taste that, in which was accomplished. You know, the entire atmosphere was clear. Everyone was doing that. You know, we knew that we had a better team, and then you just got to show it. And, you know, and New England fans, whether good or bad, they're going to support you too, but we wanted to give them something. I believe that year, even year one and year two, that we had the highest attendance for the league, you know, and so it's a pride thing, and I was very happy to be a part of it, you know, and so hopefully that will help them to forget all they had feelings we had in year one.
Were you disappointed at all that, you know, your Alexi Lalas was kind of overshadowed you with his reputation, not his play, where, you know, you were probably the best defender on the team, but never earned that All-Star nod when Lalas did?
I did earn one All-Star nod, but in fairness, Lalas and I, we have a very, 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 very good relationship. You know, he has a very high respect for me, and I do respect him as well. You know, and on the field, players know players. You know, in terms of all the other fancy stuff around, it wasn't a big deal for me. I have the respect of my peers, and I happen to be, if not number one, number two fan of the supporters. So I get joy and pride, and I was recognized for it as well. So at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding. You know, I respect, I like what I do for playing, and it's important to me that my legacy stands as, even when they talk about you, that you were a quality person and a quality player, and they were happy to be teammates of yours.
And were there any other good stories from those first couple of years that we might not have heard?
Well, I don't know if you heard, but the first day I showed up at Revs, Frank was trying to kill me. You know, that was part of the try. I had to test me. He put me against Weldon. I don't know if you guys know the Weldon, the Brazilian. And Weldon was, if not the fastest player in the league. So Frank, that's how I gained Frank's respect. Frank put Walden on me, and I was a drill with Dave. I had to chase Walden all over the place. And Frank told Walden, don't do anything, just keep running, move around. So that was what he told me afterwards, you know, when we became friends. He says, yeah, Francis, I was just trying to try you. You know, with this little Irish accent, you know. I said, Frank, thanks a lot. But that was funny for me. And he helped me out a lot because he brought me back to reality quickly that this is the level right now, and then you have to step up or you step out.
And after winning the Revs Defender of the Year in back-to-back years, was it a surprise to you that you were left unprotected in the expansion draft when Chicago and Miami were joining the league?
Yeah, it was. I was shocked, surprised. But then again, things happen for a reason. I believe that when is your time, is your time. So they left me unprotected, but, you know, which I found out maybe a day. And then Bob Bradley at that time was assistant at DC United. So he got the Chicago job. Obviously, I've played many times against Bob Bradley, you know, the refs and DC United. So he knows me, you know. And it's funny, but at that time it wasn't funny because I wanted to be one of the reasons that the refs win the MLS, and I didn't get that chance. But you know, I had to go to the next station, and they lit the fire in me, and the rest was history.
What was it like playing for Bob Bradley? Obviously, a coach that went on to have a lot of success with the U.S. national team and kind of throughout the world.
Well, Bob is a great coach. You know, it's Bob was one of my three top coaches that I have ever played for ever. Not only that, but Bob is a great person. But to be a good player slash a good coach, you have to have understanding with each other. And Bob has that. He will give you all the space you need. You know, when it's time for business, he'll be there. So I learned a lot from him. And actually, I got a lot from him in preparing me for being a coach. You know, so in as much as you're playing, you pick up a lot of stuff along the way.
And what was that inaugural season in Chicago like, winning both the MLS Cup and Open Cup as an expansion team?
It's awesome. It's a combination of things. One, we had a few veterans, and then you have a few rookies. Now, but what happens was the veterans had a little bit leg up. You know, when you're going to put up a squad like that, you know, you have to know the pieces you need. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't gone home playing for Chicago like immediately. It took some time to convince me because I didn't want to leave my hometown and stuff like that. You know, but when I did, it was 100% push forward. And you know, right away we clicked. Where we had in the beginning, Bob wanted to play this formation 3-5-2, but if he didn't get me there, he was going to play 4-4-2. So it all depends on personnel. So once I said yes, and that's what we're going to do, and then we get another rookie and then a veteran as well. So it was awesome. I'll never get that experience as well.
And I heard when you guys won the Open Cup trophy that the trophy fell apart and you ended up running around the pitch with the top of the trophy on your head. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. A lot of people didn't know this. I played with a broken rib for about 80% of the season. And we were playing Open Cup. Actually, it was in New Orleans against Dallas. And obviously, I was a slight tackle to make a tackle to save a goal. And my goalie at then is Zach Thornton. You know, if you know anybody that knows Zach is a big load, you know. And Zach, all those heavy loads, it was right on my rib. So that wasn't fun. I endured and finished it. So I wear like a brace to wrap around my rib all season. So it wasn't fun, but I was determined. So, yes, I could, because I couldn't lift my arm all the way up with the trophy, and then the trophy fell, and I just took the top of it and just put it in my head. That would do.
So you were with Chicago another season after that, and then they traded you to Miami. Were you surprised by that? How did that come about?
Initially, yes, but no, because we had a lot of injuries. And for me, the guy that was coaching Miami was like gone home about getting me. Again, he had a young team there. So he needed a center back, and we played him a lot, many times. I forgot his name. It's a Brazilian guy. So he asked, and then Chicago was going to bring in a few other younger players. I understand the business. It wasn't a problem. So, you know, I went to Miami. But the thing with Miami was I wasn't comfortable playing in a heat. I can't play a place where 6 a.m. is like 12 midday with sun and heat. So I wasn't too fond of Miami for that reason.
Well, and you mentioned it was Ivo Wortman that brought yes, you in, but then pretty quickly it became Ray Hudson was the coach there, and he's obviously earned himself a reputation as a very colorful commentator on soccer. We got some stories from Brian Dunseth about him playing for him. What was it like playing for Ray Hudson?
Ray was a character. You know, everything you hear or see on telly, that's Ray. You know. Before Ray, Ray took over from me, Ivo, but Ray wasn't a coach. Ray was a commentator for Miami Fusion. But I think they fired Ivo, or Ivo left in mid-season or something. And they couldn't come up with anybody, and so Ray stepped in. And, you know, it was a big change, big shift. But, you know, Ray knew football, you know, but sometimes you know football, but you can't teach it. So it's either or. But it was what Miami needed at that point, I guess. And then, you know, that's why he didn't stay long, because he knew that wasn't his cup of tea.
And your time there didn't last too long. You were traded, I think you were waived, and then the San Jose Earthquakes, I think, picked you up, and then they traded you to the Metro Stars. But you weren't with the Metro Stars by the time the season started. What happened there?
No, actually, I left Miami with mutual consent. I was done with Miami. I didn't want to play anymore. I told them, but I guess they were trying to get compensated or whatever in the draft or situation like that. So they waved into Metro Stars. No, I never went to any of those places. I was done.
So you knew at that point that you were done playing?
I was done. I needed to come on and coach.
How did you...
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get into coaching. You mentioned you went from playing and you wanted to get coaching.
what did you do next? And did you always want to coach when you were playing? It sounds like you thought about that being your next step. Did you always plan on getting into coaching?
Yes. I mean, I did a lot of coaching when I was playing. That's probably one of the reasons I got the nickname General as well. I love coaching. You know, it's the next step of being a player. You know, also, when you go from playing to coaching, it helps you out, a lot with the transition of being a professional player to coaching. So, you know, instead of going cold turkey and just once you retire, you just sit there, you don't know what to do, usually gets people in trouble. So, yes, I enjoy coaching. I think it's another aspect of the game that some of us didn't know existed because you were playing. You're so focused on playing. But I knew I was going to be a coach.
And you joined the Boston University coaching staff, I believe, in 2008. How did that opportunity come up, and what was it like returning to your alma mater?
Well, the opportunity came up because I proved myself in the youth level. You know, that's what I mean. I wanted to prove, not to me first, that I can coach. So I came back. I started coaching, I don't know if you guys know this club, Boston Bulls. You know, at that point, Bulls was the big club, the eight in New England. So I became a member of their staff. And then luckily, an old friend of mine, John Kerr, was also there. So, you know, we put our heads together in terms of how we're going to run the men's side. And then I coached there for about 5 years. My record with them will be out there for everyone to see. And then while I was doing that, my old coach, Neil Roberts at BU, obviously was also involved with the youth soccer, you know, I believe he's a South Shore Blazers or something. You know, we played each other a lot of times. So they realized, you know, obviously, man, I can coach. So, you know, invited me back to join the alma mater, which I resisted in the first place because I didn't know how, number one, I feel going back to a coach that alma mater right then. But he convinced me, so, you know, I came in, which was good because obviously it was my old stomping ground. So I enjoyed the experience. And when this experience at Emmanuel came up, you know, it was no brainer. I have been coaching youth soccer. It feels like forever, you know. So I took it.
Yeah, and you mentioned you were at BU for a long time, Now you are currently the women's head coach for Emmanuel College. Yes. How did the opportunity at Emmanuel come up?
Well, you know, obviously COVID ruined a lot of stuff, so there was a little gap in the transition. Emmanuel came up, number one, they posted the vacancy, you know, I saw it, and I asked the men's coach there. It's Neil Roberts' son. His name is Dan Roberts. He was coaching there. And, I asked him what he was like to coach at that school. You know, of course, he told me all the good stuff, and I said, okay. So, you know, I just put my name in the hat, and then, you know, the next thing I know, they called me in and interviewed me. You know, ask me the good questions, you know, what's your philosophy and all that stuff. And then it was a go. So they offered me this spot. It was no hesitation for me because I wanted to get back in the game, so to speak, you know, the NCAA game. On number one, and once again, to prove myself that, prove to me that I can do this. And, I always like that, those kind of challenges. And then, so far so good. We've done very well, and we're hoping to keep doing it better.
Yeah, and I see here on the website, just for context for our listeners, last season you went 13-3-3, including an in-conference record of 9-2-2, finishing third in your conference. So obviously you're making good strides and good improvements. What are your expectations for Emmanuel this season?
They're very high. I don't want my opponents to know that we have a high expectation. But yes, well, we're very high. You know, we need to do better than we did last year. I mean, the goal is to always get better. So well, we went out there, we got some players that we think can help us. And tomorrow they're going to start showing their stuff. And God willing, no injuries. We should be out there as well, you know, competing with the best of them.
Well, that's great. I have to ask too, do you still follow the Revs and Major League Soccer? And if you do, what are your thoughts about the Revs this season?
I got to be honest, I don't follow them a lot, but I've been to quite a few games because I bring my, you know, I have a youth team here, youth club. It's called FC Blazers. So I bring them to the stadium, or you know, it's what they call Revs night, you know, stuff like we get together. So I've done that quite a lot. I just did that in June or July this year. And I'm trying to bring my girls, my college girls, I'm trying to bring them over, hopefully this September. You know, I bring them in for them to see the atmosphere. And then in terms of the team, most of the time that we've been there, they won. So I like the fact that they win when I'm there. And the other stuff I don't know, I think the league has gotten better. I think the league, it's a little bit more equal now. It's not like one team always doing it. So it takes on, it depends on who gets on a run and, you know, and the arrangement. And they have Bruce. I've known Bruce forever. So sooner or later, they will get that trophy, which I know everybody in New England wants.
I was asking, just about to ask you too, how different do you think Major League Soccer is now from when you played with your time with the Revs and the Fire? You mentioned the parity, and you think it's a lot more even. But are there any other major changes with the league that you see when you look at Major League Soccer now?
Well, yeah, it's a lot of changes. So, for example, right now you have a lot of teams. You know, back then it wasn't, I think it was half of what they had now, but now it's a lot of teams. Now, with that brings in better players, you know, more players, better coaches, more good coaches. You know, so it that's why it's a lot balanced now. I understand Messi's here. That was not the case back then. You know, you've had many, many people come and transition to, you know, but not to take anything away from my days had also had big internationals coming. You know, each generation will say to you that their generation was the best thing since sliced bread. You know, but for me, I think, you know, I'm going to be fair. I think they have more players this day and age than last, but my time, we have a little bit better quality in terms of the maturity of the players.
Another thing I'm curious too, because you've coached in college soccer, you played in college soccer, and you know your career obviously spans different decades. I want to get kind of the same kind of question, but instead of MLS, just youth soccer and college soccer. How much has it changed from when you played in the 80s to currently today?
That's a very good question because I'm in the business right now. It's changed a lot in terms of temperament, right? But way back in the 80s, things you say to them, you can't say now. The players will melt. You know, I think back in the 80s, those players are a little bit more driven because we didn't have the choices. Like, you know, like for example, in the 80s, we didn't have a professional league. So you had to make do with what you had. Now, they got league everywhere, you know. So it's a lot of differences, but now I guess more is better. Choices all over the place, but the disadvantage of that is it makes you not to take things serious. You know, you take things for granted. You know, if players this year and age, you know, I don't know if you guys know the stuff about portal. You know, in NCAAs, you know, if a player doesn't play, start a game, they transfer. I mean, stuff like that in the 80s, no. It doesn't work that way. You commit, you commit. You got to go fight for it. You know, so that's a lot of differences. But this is where we are right now. So you have to learn as a coach to adjust. You know, so I'm not coaching the way I coached in 2000, early 2000 now. And, you know, they're different breeds. So you just, you know, I'm in the women's game right now. I can't coach them the way I used to coach all my other girls' team. You know, it's a lot different.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm curious too. Obviously, MLS teams too are starting to build their academies too. You play. You mentioned you coach with the Boston Bolts too. Do you see MLS? I know they're trying to basically build their own pipelines from academies to second teams to the first team. Do you think that's a great sign and progress of the sport? What's kind of your thought about MLS kind of going into that space of academies?
Oh no, it's a great thing, but that's just the beginning. You know, it's like. Everybody talks about academy, and they want to tailor it like the academies in Europe, you know. But when you say academy, you have to also back it up with funds, right? And you have to make it available for the ones that can't come in. That's a lot of steps. It's not just saying that you're putting an academy together. You know, academy is meant to help the full team, you know, I don't see that yet where a team, for example, a team like Revs, I'm just using Revs as an example. A team like Revs will say, oh, yeah, we have about 6 kids coming through from the academy. They're going to be in the first team, you know, stuff like that. And then not only bring them up, but you actually give the opportunity to show, you know, stuff like that. Those are the steps that I feel that now that we established the academy, that's great. So what's next? Are we going to... you know, develop these kids to give them the opportunity to come through. And then when they come through, so they can perform and then keep the league better, not just to have expansion, but to keep the league better.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. And I think the Revs are kind of at that point too. They have a lot of youth prospects that are up on the first team that are fighting for minutes too. So I do have to ask you too, you mentioned a few minutes ago, you mentioned Messi coming to Major League Soccer. You're a 2-time Revolution Defender of the Year. You're known for your one-on-one defending. How would you guard Messi? How would you shut him down?
Well, unfortunately, I've guided somebody that is a little bit better than Messi. His name is Maradona. You know, Messi, I don't know if you have a specific way you can defend him. You know, I think you should be on him before he turns on you. You know, that's what good defenders do. If you let fantastic force turn, you're done. No, so but again, it's not a one-man show. It's your team, right? If your team understands it, then you play according to what the coach says. But if it was a one-man show, obviously I'll be all over him wherever he goes. And that's probably not realistic because it's a football game. The other 10 players, they got to be doing stuff. But you can't shut him down, obviously. Everyone has seen that. But you can slow him down.
Yeah, that question was actually sent in by MLS teams because they're still trying to figure it out. He's on a real heater.
No, don't tell him I said that.
All right. We'll keep it a secret.
Yes.
Hey, we got one more question here. We always end with this question, but I'm curious to see what your answer is because, you know, you've done kind of everything. You've played. You've played in Europe. You've played indoor soccer. You've coached the youth levels. You're now coaching at the college levels. What is your favorite soccer memory? It could be a game. It could be a play. It could be a championship. It could be something that happened in the locker room. Throughout your entire career, what is the one kind of memory of soccer that, you know, is your favorite throughout your career?
Well, you have time? I got buckets of memories and good.
You can give us multiple. We say one, but you can give as many as you like.
Well, in all the levels that I've been to, I've won. The only thing left right now is for me to win maybe national title with my girls team right now at the moment. My favorite, I'll start with Emmanuel. Emmanuel wasn't good until we showed up, and now they're very competitive. I go back to winning the MLS Cup. You know, it's not just winning the cup, we won the Open Cup, we won double. The memories were unbelievable. My first coaching stint in the youth soccer, I won the national championship when it mattered. You know, when you have very, 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 very good teams. You know, I have produced quite some players for MLS, you know, that I coach. On the girls' side, I'm very, very happy that I've coached a lot of girls that are going to have success. You know, In college, at BU, the record is there to speak for itself. My only regret for BU, which I say loud and clear, was not winning the national championship for them. And in Nigeria, you know, I played, we've won so many. I mean, football has been real great for me. And, you know, I don't take it for granted. That's why in my coaching, that's part of the stuff that people get from me, that I like them to know that you can't take success for granted. That can go out the window very quickly if you don't keep working. So I have had many successes. So it's hard for me to choose one. But and then final, but not the least, the hometown squad. I am so happy that they didn't forget about me. I hear that when they talk about former MLS, Revs players, that they always remember me. So stuff like that is important to me, that you keep a good legacy and a clean record going.
I did have one last thing I wanted to bring back up, because I think you mentioned, when we talked about Messi, you mentioned that you defended Diego Maradona. When was that?
Well, Maradona, my first time of encountering Maradona was in Australia when we did the U17. Yeah, that was before you or anybody else knew who Maradona was. You know, and he was ridiculous. You know, and then I think Messi kind of tailored his game to Maradona. And they're very, very similar. Very, very, very similar. I think the only difference is that Diego is a little bit more stockier, but he's also a craftsman. So that was that, you know, I caught him fresh when he was out of Argentina looking to make a name for himself as well.
Well, it was so great talking to you. You mentioned that you're still recognized by the Revolution. I should note that we did a Revolution Best 11, I think 13 years ago when I was running New England Soccer Today, and we interviewed the local media, and you made the Revolution All-Time Best 11 back then. So you certainly are well-remembered in the Revolution history. We really appreciate you taking the time today. Hope you have a lot of success with Emmanuel College Women's Soccer this year. Thanks so much, Francis.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys. And good luck in all you do. And then I'll talk to you guys soon.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.